Apartment 213 Media.
This is absolutely horrifying. Welcome to Absolutely Horrifying, the new and improved Absolutely Horrifying. I am here with John.
Hey, what's up?
I am Ben. Not much. Thank you for officially joining the show as my co-host here.
Glad to be here.
So you are still in St. Louis. As everyone might know, I did take about a 10-month hiatus from the show. A lot of stuff went down, and I'm actually living in L.A. now. So it's a little bit different of a world out here than New Orleans.
Yeah, how's that going for you? You like it out there?
I love it. The weather's perfect. Always, but it's a lot more expensive than what I would like it to be as far as literally everything goes. Groceries are astronomical. Gas is astronomical. Rent is astronomical. Yeah, everything's a lot more expensive.
Yep. The fun part, it's all going up, but that's just how it goes.
Yeah. But I am here in LA where all of my favorite movies have ever been made, so that's awesome. I got to see a lot of where Scream 3 was filmed. A lot of other movies, too. I can't think off the top of my head which ones. But Scream 3, notably, I've seen Sunrise Studios, the movie studio in Scream 3. My partner actually was working on a show there, so that was pretty cool. But we are back here to tell you all about the most horrible movies that you can watch streaming on some free apps. The one we are doing this week is available on YouTube with ads. You'll need that ad time because this movie is a lot to get
through.
That might
be the best part of the movie right there, the ads. Right.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, this is the worst movie ever made. And that is, I think that is what everyone says anyways. It is Troll 2. It is the sequel to Troll, and I'm not talking about the Anna Kendrick, Justin Timberlake movie. This is from 1990.
Now, it is the sequel to the Troll movie, although it has no reference to the first movie. It has a totally different plot, and there's no trolls even in the movie. So, yeah, it's great.
So, the way this movie came about was basically, from my understanding, they didn't know how to market the movie, and this is how they wanted to make the movie succeed, was putting this Troll 2 moniker on it. And I actually read a little bit, too, where a couple of other movies were made after this point that had nothing to do with the Troll franchise, and they were Troll 3 and a few other things as well. So this is a weird... weird movie. I'm not even sure that Troll, the first movie, was a financial success, but they were hoping. I'm not quite sure what this movie really was.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the original script for this movie was called Goblins. So there was an original mention of goblins instead of trolls. But yeah, it was an Italian movie. Was it made in Italy or was it just the Italian director? Do you know that?
I think it was an Italian crew. It looks, you know, since I'm an expert now and I live in LA, it looks a lot like Outside of LA and stuff. So I really don't think they filmed in Italy. I don't see them having the budget to film this in Italy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah, because I guess they would have had to fly the whole cast there, and that wasn't happening, because one of the funny things I read is a lot of the actors, they went there to be extras in the movie, and they're the ones that end up landing the lead roles.
Yeah, that makes me really wonder, like, how bad the original, like, people that went in for the actual roles were.
Yeah.
Because... the acting in this movie was so atrocious, and the way that people, I'll mention it as we go through, but the people's reactions to a lot of the things that happen in this movie are not how you would respond to this shit that's happening in this movie. Especially the mom. The mom literally has the worst acting of them all.
Yeah, and, well, I don't know. Maybe she's up there. Top two, definitely.
Now, I did also read, so in the movie, they go to the general market, the general store, and they, the guy that's the shopkeeper, he was on leave from a mental institution on the weekend. Like, he was from a mental institution.
Well, the funny part about that is he's the only one that actually tried out for one of the main roles. Like, he's the only one that went there trying to get one of the main roles. Everyone else was going as an extra. So that's kind of weird that that's how that worked out.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't even know you get weekend passes for mental institutions.
Yeah.
Like, I never got one.
Like, the 90s were a lot further away than it feels like.
Right, right. Now, this movie did remind me of something, and it was one of my favorite movies growing up, which you said this was one of your favorite movies growing up, and I don't really get it. I guess it looks less ridiculous when you're, like, 4.
I guarantee that's what it is.
But it reminds me, specifically the goblins, remind me of Ernest Scared Stupid.
You know, you remember I watched that movie? A lot as a kid. I watched that
movie. I loved that movie as a kid. And it also kind of reminded me of, there was an old film, I think it was from the 70s even, of Hansel and Gretel. It kind of reminded me of that. I think it's just because it looks like shit. This movie looks like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But Hansel and Gretel frightened me as a kid. And honestly, this movie probably would have scared the shit out of me if I watched this when I was 4.
Yeah, I mean, so as bad as the acting is and as bad as everything is, I mean, the goblins in the movie are actually pretty scary.
I guess as a kid, you could say that. Looking at them now, like, the special effects budget on this movie was probably next to nothing. They all looked like paper mache to me.
I think they were.
And there was, like, none of them had expressions. Like, the one had its eyes, like, wide open the whole time. Like, there was no blinking of the eyes or anything like that. But
there's one scene where there's animatronics of the mouth moving, and it doesn't even match the speech, and that's only, like, one scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, it's this movie. But we're going to walk you through what this movie actually is and how the story went along. this movie. I had to actually stop literally 30 minutes into the movie and watch it on a completely different day because...
That's so funny because I watched it in two parts as well.
it was just too much. And you said that people actually have viewings of this?
Yeah, I think for like the 10-year anniversary, they had a big showing and it had such a big turnout that they actually traveled around the country. And it came out in 1990 and not until 2014 did it go above a 0 on the Rotten Tomatoes score. But yeah, it became a cult following, I guess.
The fact that this movie is even on Rotten Tomatoes. It is an MGM movie, though, which surprised me. Like, I'm surprised MGM put this garbage out.
Yeah, but they were the only big company really throwing money at stuff back then.
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
Not the only, but one of the biggest ones.
They threw a bag of nickels at this movie.
Maybe a whole roll.
Like, oh. So anyways, this movie, is it PG? I think it's even PG.
PG-13, even though I don't think, it'd probably be R today.
Why?
Well, there's a lot of sexual references and cussing.
Oh, there is. Yeah, we're going to discuss one of the sexual things in this movie later. Because it happens near the end of the movie, and it's very uncomfortable. But the movie starts out, this movie, literally, it's like you're in the middle of a conversation, and this grandpa is telling this story to his grandson. His grandson's name is Joshua.
Yeah, Joshua, yeah.
And his grandpa's name is Seth, which I've never known anybody's grandpa to be named Seth. In this story, he's telling basically a fairy tale that is true.
About Robin Hood.
He looks like Robin Hood.
He does. Just like Robin Hood.
And the guy's in the wood. His name is Peter. And Peter gets lost in the woods, as one does. And he runs into these goblins. And as Joshua's grandfather tells the story, they are cruel, deformed forest creatures. which they are paper mache.
He says, cruel, deformed forest dwellers, haughty creatures, spiteful and impudent. They're vengeful and evil goblins, little people in the night.
Wow. That's a little much. Oscar, but you did an Oscar-winning performance of that just now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I said forest creatures. I didn't even see this movie.
Same difference, though. I mean,
His grandpa, like, gives details like Stephen King does in his movies. Like, he uses way too many adjectives to describe something as simple as a goblin. But Peter sees them and gets scared, and he's running and running and running. And Joshua wants to know why the goblins are after him. And why are the goblins after him, John?
That's a good question. Probably because of his diet.
Goblins don't need a reason to be mean, is what his grandfather says. Now, this is when I first realized that the music in this movie is stupid as fuck.
Yeah, it's background pure synthesizer. It's pure synthesizer all the way.
And it never really matches up to what's happening in the movie, ever. Like, this one's like, this sound, the music in the background for this entire scene is like adventure type music. Like, it's not like somebody's chasing this guy. But Peter runs into this woman in the middle of the woods, and this bitch got henna freckles. Her freckles are the fakest thing in this entire movie, and this whole movie is stupid as hell. But he runs into her and he's like, I'm hungry. She proceeds to feed him what looks like fucking toothpaste. It looks like a bowl full of fucking Crest toothpaste.
It does. It really does.
And in this entire movie, like, all these random people eat this green sludge shit without questioning it. Without questioning it at all.
Yeah, it looks like that slime from Nickelodeon back in the day.
Oh my god, yeah. I always want to get slimed. I drove by, speaking of Nickelodeon, I drove by the Nickelodeon studios here. It's in Burbank. Really? So they have like the big orange like Nickelodeon sign, but the rest of the building looks exactly how we all look. Depressed. Depressed.
Big warehouse.
It's an office building, but it's like stark white. There's no color to it whatsoever other than the orange sign. So it's like depressing.
That does sound depressing.
Eric was telling me, though, that that's like the animation studio and not the actual studio. But I feel like the other studio, I mean, I feel like the other studio would just be like tan.
Yeah. It probably is like a warehouse, the other one.
But back to this wonderful movie. So at this point in the story, Joshua's grandfather lets him know that goblins can transform into people. And that's what this beautiful freckled bitch is an actual goblin. So, of course, Peter eats the stuff, the green pudding, and gets sick automatically. And he's, like, sweating green.
Chlorophyll. Coloring.
Yeah, chlorophyll. It's chlorophyll because basically what this does to people is turns them into plants, right?
Yeah.
So, are they plants? Because some of them just turn into straight goo.
Yeah, some of them turn to goo. Some of them start growing branches out of their arms. And it's, I don't think they had that totally worked out when they made this movie.
They're like, let's just make them plants of some sort. But, Peter turns into a plant, and basically the goblins eat them. And that's the story that Grandpa is telling his 6-year-old child, because, you know, what's not horrifying about that?
Perfect bedtime story for a little kid.
But at the same time, we also find out that Grandpa has been dead for 6 months, and that Grandpa is telling, not Peter, Jesus, now I'm confused.
Joshua,
the story. And don't worry, though. Grandpa the ghost comes back later in the story. So the mom in this, which I told you, looks like my step-sibling's mom, which I couldn't get over for the entire movie. So this is how I imagined her.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. There was similarity there, definitely.
And then we move to another scene where the the bigger sister, Holly, is like working out, and it's just a quick scene where the mom looks in at her, smiles, and then like closes the door all creepily. And then we meet the dad, which at first I thought was Scott Bakula.
That's who it was. I thought he looked familiar and I couldn't put my finger on it. You're right. That's who I thought it was.
It's not, though. This is like great value Scott Bakula.
He's actually a dentist in a small town. It's funny. There's a whole documentary about this and it's hilarious.
So he's actually like in real life was a dentist?
Yeah, he was just a dentist and everybody in this town he lives in knows him. He's a real nice guy. And he didn't tell anybody he did this movie. And all of a sudden people started finding out and yeah, it's...
I mean, why would you tell anybody you did this movie?
I actually recommend watching the documentary instead of the movie.
So I didn't watch the documentary. I probably will because you've mentioned it a couple times and I think it'd be interesting because I find stuff like this interesting because people thought this was going to be entertainment. Like people had a dream and they made this movie.
Yeah, a lot of the actors too, they talk about when they watched it for the first time and most of them said, I was so embarrassed. Like I was afraid to tell anybody I was in this movie. Like, yeah, that's how bad it is.
Well, it's like Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun. She never, ever talks about that movie.
That is true, but I like the Leprechaun movies. Those are very good.
Yeah, Leprechaun's awesome. I used to be afraid of the Leprechaun. I used to be afraid to open my refrigerator for some reason. I thought he was going to be in there. But this is the point where we also meet Holly's boyfriend and her bros, and his bros, excuse me. And they're, like, peeping through the window and scare Joshua to death. And then break into the sister's room while she's working out.
And well, she's not just working out, though. I mean, she's, like, bench pressing and she's...
Yeah.
Sweating and she's like her sweatband.
Sweating to the oldies.
Yeah, yeah.
But she kicks this man in the nuts. Or does she? Yeah, in the nuts. And he goes, are you trying to turn me into a homo? And I was like, this is so 90s.
Yeah, yeah. This is when you see how bad the sister's acting really is.
Are you trying to turn me into a homo? But this, the sister's acting. We'll talk about this in a little bit because she says something in the car in a little bit. And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. She reminds me of like a dinner theater actress. Like in her hometown, she was like the lead in all the plays. And they were like, you can do this. You can act. And she just went with it.
And I bet she wasn't even good doing that, to be honest. No. I mean,
she was the most...
It's bad. Really bad.
She was like the most talented in the town. Doesn't mean her talented. So we find out that they're going on this trip, the whole family, to Nil Bog, which actually kind of sounds like something from our hometown, John. like bogs.
Yeah. Remember that? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we find out in this whole scene that nobody can act, of course, but the dad doesn't like the girl's boyfriend, and the girl and the dad start getting in a fight, and the mom's like, Josh, just start singing. And I'm thinking that Josh is going to break out with, like, I don't know, something, but he starts singing Row Your Boat, and they all start doing this weird, what do they even call that? Where one person starts singing and then another person starts singing like a few seconds after that. Yeah. They do this weird thing.
I know what you mean.
And we find out that also Elliot was supposed to be going with them on this trip, which makes no sense to me because the girl didn't even ask the father or the mom. And she just invited him on this trip, but he did not show up. But we find out that he and the boys are driving to Nil Bog by themselves in an RV. Which I have no idea how teenagers got an RV, but
or whose parent trusted them to drive it or any of that, like
right. They just were like, we have an RV now. But Josh has a COVID nightmare, where his entire family has become goblins, and
while they're in the car, this is
while they're in the car, and they're going to eat him or whatnot. But he wakes up, and we find out that it's not real. And the sister, this is the line that I'm talking about. Who wanted to eat you, little brother? But you who start says to think that?
It's like, is he having delusions? Like, does this kid have just like mental problems, and that's what's really going on here? Like,
I literally wrote in here that he's schizo because they pass a homeless guy on the road in the middle of the desert with a sign, and Josh automatically thinks that it's his grandfather, and he actually talks to his grandfather, and the grandfather's like, you need to stop them from going, like this little kid can do anything. It turns out to be just a homeless man. It's not the grandfather. Meanwhile, the parents literally let this kid run up to this homeless man.
Yeah, they drive by this homeless man, and Josh was like, oh, stop the car, and they're like, what, are you gonna be sick? And then Josh gets out and runs all the way back to this hitchhiker and just starts talking to him like it's his grandpa.
Yeah,
like, okay.
Parenting is weird. They finally get to Nilbog, and this town reminds me of Mentone, Indiana, if anyone's ever been. There's nothing. There's no one out. There's like a general store, it looks like. That's all I really see when they first get to town. There's like nobody in this town until they drive away. And then like people in the store, you can see them looking out the window. So you know something's off right away in this town.
Yeah, they're all given like a really creepy look. Like they're all staring and more bad acting, definitely.
Yeah, it looks like what I would imagine if Hannah Montana didn't have a budget.
Yeah.
So it comes to fruition that the families are swapping homes. So they're going to the farm and the family is going to the city. And this family's weird as fuck. As you would expect. They all have this weird, what I find out later is a clover, which does not look like a clover, marking on their face. They all have it, and they get in their...
They have warts. They all have warts in this town.
They all have warts. Like, they've let toads piss all over them. And they get in the truck. The two kids jump in the back of the bed, which is illegal, by the way, and not safe, especially if they're going to the city. But the son of the other family throws Joshua a ball that reads, eat before we eat you.
Yeah, and has like that green slime on it.
Yeah. This movie made me realize that I'm glad that I didn't eat vegetables as a child. I still don't eat a lot of vegetables, so I'd be good. So the family goes inside and they realize that the creepy family left them a meal, which is totally fucking weird. And it's all like green pudding. It looks like a cheesecake with like frosting on it.
It's not appetizing at all.
It's not appetizing, but they're like, oh my God, hospitality. And this is when Josh sees his grandpa again in a window. And while his family's getting ready to eat and all that, Josh is having this long ass conversation at the window with his grandpa, where his grandpa's like, you need to stop them from eating. You need to stop them from eating. Meanwhile, by the time this conversation would have happened, they would have already eaten. They would have at least taken a bite. But
yeah, and the thing about Josh's expression too, through the whole movie, he has this constant expression. I would describe it as that actress from Twilight. What's her name?
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. It's that same facial expression that she gives all the time,
where she's like constantly like she needs to fart.
Yeah.
So the grandpa freezes the family, so Josh is able to stop them from eating. And if you look closely during this whole scene, they're moving.
Yeah, the mom blinks a couple times, and the dad's hand's shaking really bad, and yeah, it's...
But, so Josh is trying to figure out how he's going to get them to stop eating, because they're all halfway to their mouth anyways. And this boy, R. Kelly's them. Unzips his pants and pisses all over the food. Now, thank God they like cut that part of the movie out so you don't actually see this kid pissing. But
how else are you gonna stop your family from eating food when time is frozen? I mean,
yeah, but
isn't that the first thing anyone would do? You wouldn't throw it away or get rid of it or anything. You'd piss on it.
But my thing is, some of them were halfway to their mouth already. So that means he pissed on the family's hands.
Well, I don't think very much thought was put into this. We already know that.
I mean,
established that.
I mean, I'm into a lot of freaky stuff, but don't piss on my food. So, of course, he gets in trouble. The father takes him upstairs, and it looks like he's about to, like, take off his belt. And I was like,
this is my favorite line of the whole movie.
Let me guess what it is. No one pisses on hospitality.
Well, no, he talks about the hospitality, but he says, he says, now I'm going to have to tighten my belt, one belt loop, so I don't get hunger pangs. And your sister and mother has to do the same thing. It was hilarious.
Yeah. And I thought the scene, I was like, this is about to get really, really, really gross. It made me uncomfortable. I thought something was going to happen. But
I thought he was going to whip the shit out of that kid. And he's just screaming at him and walks out. I mean, it was the 90s. That's when you could still hit your kids.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I don't have kids. I'm so glad I don't have kids. But Josh is in trouble now. And we switch scenes back to Elliot, which is Holly's boyfriend, and his friends in the RV. They have stopped for the day. And they're all just hanging out in the RV, watching a movie. And one of the guys wants to go out and smoke. So while he's outside smoking, he sees a girl running in the woods. And what do you do when a girl is running in the woods? You chase after her and tackle her to the ground. And
yeah, that was a kind of weird scene.
Now, then the goblins come out because she's like, oh my God, they're chasing me. They're chasing me. And this motherfucker is the calmest person I've ever seen encounter goblins in my entire life.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
Like, he just goes over to him and he's like, like, I don't even remember what he said because it was so, the scene was stupid. But he ends up getting stabbed with a branch. And
yeah, he goes up to him like, you can't do anything to me. And then they just like stab him.
They stab him with Michelle Branch. And then they get the girl and him get away. And they're running and they see a house that is also a church. It's a church house, which I kind of want because this house is actually super cool. But they meet a woman inside by the name of Credence. And she looks exactly like how you would expect her to look. Like, she looks, her teeth are like George Washington's.
Black.
And her hair is also
Credence Leonore Gielgold. That was her name.
Yeah. See, I just put Credence because I was like, that is too much. I was like, this is.
And she's from Stonehenge. Like, that's not a place. That's
yeah, like, she's like, my ancestors come from Stonehenge. And it's like, the housing development? Like.
Right? Like, what's that mean?
But we'll find out more about Stonehenge later, though. Like, there's a reason that it's there. And the guy's like, we need a doctor. Where's the hospital? And she's like, there's no hospital in Nilbog. Because, of course, there's not. And instead, she makes them this broth. Because that's what you do. You know, you take cures from a random stranger that you just met. And, of course, it's more green stuff. The girl drinks it. The boy, I don't think, drank it. Wow. Drunk it?
I think. But somehow he's paralyzed. Like, he did, but later he didn't, I guess. Or he did. I don't know.
But he's paralyzed, like, can't move. Meanwhile, the girl has ran up the stairs because that's what you do. And she's turning into, like, a lettuce wrap. And the goblins come in, and we find out that Credence is basically part of this goblin troop. And my brain just gave out.
Well, the best part is when he sees her, like, transforming upstairs, and he's like, oh my God, and it's like this overly dramatic scene, like under dramatically dramatic,
right? It's like calm, like it's everybody in this movie is so damn calm. It's like everybody took a Xanax before every scene they did, and like if they had multiple scenes, like every time the camera went on them, they just took a Xanax. But we move back to the family home where Josh and his sister and mom and dad are at. And Josh is looking around the room that he's in, and there's goblin pictures, which I kind of want for my spooky wall. And then they switch over to the sister, who is, like, doing this weird, I guess, sexy dance, or what she thinks is a sexy dance. And she's, like, talking her way through, like, what she's going to say to Elliot, because he's constantly with his friends. And she doesn't like that. Like, she wants him to choose between her and him, or her and his friends.
Yeah,
as every girl does.
Very beginning, yeah.
So while she's doing this sexy dance, she sees her grandpa in the mirror, and he's saying, "Josh, Joshua," and the grandpa got the wrong room, basically. Yeah. And the parents come in, and she's like, "Oh no, the grandpa was there. The grandpa was there." And the dad goes, "Are you still smoking dope, Holly?"
Said, "Dad, no, I promised. And then, of course, Joshua's like, see, I'm not crazy.
Right. But then Josh is suddenly not afraid of anything, and he's like, I'll go stay in her room. So they switch bedrooms, and Grandpa's obviously like, you need to get out of here. You and the family need to get out of here. And the boy's like, why don't you tell them? Because everyone obviously thinks I'm nuts. Like, you need to tell them yourself. And the grandpa goes, my daughter never, what did he say exactly? Basically along the lines like his daughter never listened to him anyways.
That's what it was. It's like, she never listened to me anyways. That's why she married that good for
nothing. Oh, yeah, that good for nothing. Yeah. And the grandpa's talking about this boy's dad.
Going off on a tangent.
Right. He's like, oh, yeah, goblins. So the mom goes to the fridge. Oh, no, we go back to the RV. It's the next day.
Yeah, we check back in with the friends. Yeah.
We check back in with the friends, and they're having the gayest sleepover I've ever seen.
They're like in
a twin size bed, like two of them, and they're shirtless, and it was very homoerotic. But we just are there for a second, then we go back to the family home, and the mom realizes that all they have in the fridge is this milk, and it's curdled. There's like
four or five like half gallons or something.
Right. And it's curdled. So Dad and Josh decide that they're going to go to the store to the town so they can get food. And meanwhile, the RV guys are also hungry. So one of them leaves to go to the store on foot. And as that guy is running down the street, because that's what people do. I don't understand running.
With his loose backpack that's like flopping around as he's running. Right. It's like, okay, unrealistic.
Right. The sheriff stops him and he's like, oh, hey, you visiting? And the kid was like, yeah. And the cop offers to give him a ride to the store. And on the way there, which also, by the way, a cab.
Was he a bad actor or was he just trying to be creepy? I couldn't tell the difference if he's just trying to be creepy or if it's just horrible acting.
I think it was just horrible acting in general. Okay. This whole movie is just horrible acting. But the guy asked the boy if he's hungry. The guy, not the boy. The guy if he's hungry. And the guy's like, yeah. And the sheriff hands him a sandwich with this green pudding shit in the middle. Like, anytime I've been handed something to eat that I don't know what it is, I ask. I don't go, looks delicious.
Like, especially a sandwich with, like, neon green pudding. On the right. Inside of it.
Right. Like, why would you eat that? You wouldn't even ask. You wouldn't sniff it. He didn't even sniff it. He just, like, takes a bite of it.
When he's already on his way to the store, like, he could have just waited 3 minutes, right. 5 minutes, whatever.
But you're supposed to trust the police.
I guess. This was the 90s.
So, they get to the store, and the guy asks the cop where the girls are at night, and the sheriff like laughs maniacally and then drives off, which I didn't even really notice this, but there are not a lot of females in this town.
Well, see, the weird part is I noticed that too. Before that scene, they only showed men in the town, and when after the sheriff laughs like there's no women, all of a sudden you randomly start seeing women in the town. So
right, so they like forgot about their storyline. Yeah, it like they had the storyline going and then it went away. But
yeah,
they're all like, all these men are standing outside the general store, and it's like the strangest entrance to a gay club ever. Like, they all look like they're part of the what was the band, the YMCA? That band.
Yeah, yeah.
The Village People. They all kind of look like that. And the guy goes inside and asks the shop owner for coffee. And coffee is the devil's drink. And he also asked for bacon or anything. And this is when we find out that everyone is a vegetarian in Nilbog.
Yeah. Which, so, actually, I don't know if you saw this, but the writer, the woman that wrote this script, she actually has a big thing against vegetarians and where our society is going. So that was like kind of her concept of this movie, is how, like, I guess vegetarians are just like crazy goblins.
So they're the worst. What I read was like a lot of their friends, became like vegetarians at the same time, and that's where they got the idea for this movie. So I'm sure it's a mix of those two things, but yeah, like
it still doesn't make sense.
I mean, I live in California, so a lot of people, like, everything is very healthy. So I could definitely understand, like, everyone's gobbling out here.
Yeah.
But we also see in these men outside the store that everyone has that same clover scar thing, the mole wart. They all have that. And we're back at Credence's church home, where she has the boy that was paralyzed standing up, planted now, like he's becoming a plant, which is the only person in this entire movie that his death or whatnot is like this.
Yeah, like he's still conscious, he's still there, he's growing into a tree. Other people seem to like melt Die. Into this green glue.
Yeah, so Dad and Josh, so that's literally what the scene is. We find out that this boy is like a plant now, he's turning into a tree. And we're back with Dad and Josh as they get to the store, and it says we'll be back in like 30 minutes for after the sermon. And the dad sits down to read a vegetable cookbook outside of the store, and Josh realizes after looking in a rearview mirror, because he's begging for his grandpa to come back, that Nilbog, backwards, it's Goblin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
The plot thickens.
The plot thickens. And Josh realizes that his dad fell asleep in a matter of 2 seconds and takes off on a skateboard because that's what you would do. And we move to where Credence is now at their house, and she has brought the mom it looks like a cheesecake to me with the green sludge goo stuff. And the Credence meets the sister, who she says is appetizing lesbianism.
I don't think that mom would let her in the house.
That
character would not have let that woman in the house. She's not normal looking at all.
Yeah, but Credence just shows up in the house. Like, there's no knocking. Like, she grabs the woman by her shoulder and scares her.
Yeah.
And then just the mom allows her to, like, stay there. But Josh finds where this sermon is happening, which is in a barn. And the sermon is very, very heated, and it is about meat.
and the guy giving the sermon sounds just like Hulk Hogan. Like, he must have been all, like, steroided up or something.
Oh, my God. He did sound like Hulk Hogan. He actually looks like the dad from Amityville, the original Amityville, if you've ever seen it. But
He really does. I couldn't put my finger on who he looked like, but, yeah, I think that's who I was thinking.
And I mean, I would do him, but that's just me. The other family that they were swapping homes with is also there. So Josh is like, why are they here? Why are they here? And Josh, meanwhile, while he's eavesdropping on this, is upstairs and looking through a hole. So he's watching this all through a hole. And he accidentally makes his skateboard fall down this little ramp, alerting the sermon to his presence. And Josh is now caught by these people. And fuck that, because we're going to go to Holly going to the RV. You know, everything in this movie is very abrupt. Like, there's no, like, it's weird. So Holly goes to the RV and tells Elliot to choose her or his friends.
Well, no, wait. Go back a step. She calls him out of the RV. He comes out, and she just punches him across the face and knocks him to the ground. Like, oh, hey.
Yeah, hey, this woman has some serious anger issues. So, yeah, I never understood how or why she, like, just randomly punches him in the face. Like, serious anger issues.
Yeah. Male spousal abuse is definitely a thing. And, they should have talked about that more in the movie. Brought that
right.
more up.
Yeah, instead of vegetarians.
Yeah, just normalize it. Just normalize it.
So
he pops up like, hey, what's up?
Right. Yeah, it's this movie, all of it's ridiculous, this whole movie. We move right back to the barn scene, and they have Josh, like, held down, and they're trying to force feed him pistachio pudding. And they're like, open your mouth, my little friend. Like, repeats this over and over and over again. And finally, Josh's dad decides to show up, and saves the day from this ice cream. As they're calling it ice cream, this is the, like, most liquidy ice cream I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's not even Jell-O. Like, it's no, it's like soup.
It's like yogurt.
Yeah.
It's like yogurt. It's not, but they, like, corner them in the barn, like, but they're, like, backing out of the way. And then they're just back in the van, and everything's fine. And well, that's what as
Josh was like, see dad, there's something with them. They all have the scar, and the dad kind of looks around like, okay, this is kind of fucked up. And then they yeah, like you said, they're out of there.
They're out of it, and everything's like honky dory. Like, but as they're driving home, the dad sees Holly at this RV with Elliot, and he does not like her philandering with this playboy son of the Coopers. And so he stops and he's like, I don't like you, son. And blah, blah, like they have like a little small, like conversation and then all decide to leave together. So Elliot leaves with the daughter.
Yeah. 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 And the dad, it should have been Holly. When she went up to Elliot, she shouldn't have punched him. It should have been the dad, because the way they make the dad out to be, you know, they make him out to be like he's this angry, mad person. But yet he's all calm when he gets there and sees her with Elliot.
Right. And then just allows him to come with them. Like, I don't get it. So the other boy that was at the store that isn't feeling well, he gets to Credence's house because somebody, was it the sheriff? Who told him? Somebody told this boy that his friend was at the house and that he should go there. So the guy ends up at Credence's house of boy toy plants. And he's like, I don't feel good. He doesn't notice his fucking tree friend at first.
Yeah.
And then finally realizes him. And he's like, oh my God. But this whole scene was as calm as everything else in the movie. He's like, you need to grab the pot and drag me out quick. And then Credence shows up, and the guy's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And fucking Credence Hulk smashes this kid onto her bed. Like, hits him barely, and he goes flying across the room. Then she tells Plant Boy that he needs to be punished for this. And what does she do? Pulls out a fucking chainsaw. So now it's the Nilbog Chainsaw Massacre. And from what I'm gathering about this scene, like, she starts blending him up in a blender. Like she's fucking Java Juice or something. That's what I got from the scene, was she cut him up and now he's a smoothie. So the dad and son, daughter, and Elliot get home and they're having like a hoedown at their house. The whole entire town. A
boot scooting good time.
And he walks in to the house, and his wife's like, oh, my God, you're home. Look what they've done for us. And it's this weird, like, family reunion sort of, like, scene. That's what it reminds me of because of the food. But here's what I don't understand. So all of these people pretty much are goblins. Or all goblins, actually. Not even pretty much. They're all goblins. So they're able to eat the food as well. Am I getting that correct? But if you're human, it turns you into a plant?
Yeah, I think that's the case, yeah. It's like a vegetarian diet, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So Josh gets in trouble because he's telling everybody not to eat the food, and he's sent to his room again, where he's, like, in the mirror trying to get his grandpa to come and help, and a goblin comes through the mirror, and it's Credence, I guess?
Yeah.
And
that was probably the only part that's like really jumpy in that whole movie, like that scene right there.
They attempted so many jump scares in this movie though, and they failed.
Yeah, they failed on most of them.
But Grandpa shows up in human form to save Josh from the goblin and cuts her hand off. And Grandpa says basically to Josh that they need to stop this, and the only way to stop it is to burn the whole place down.
That's when I was like, okay, he's definitely delusional and he's an arson. Like,
yeah, he's an arsonist. He's an arsonist. So they have like a Molotov cocktail, but they also grabbed the fire extinguisher to like confuse them. And they go outside, which is weird to me how they got outside without anybody noticing them, because they were upstairs. And the preacher comes out of the house and basically tells them that they're not going to do anything, and Grandpa's going to be sent to the netherworld. He's going to be sent to hell. So the priest is like making the, or the preacher, excuse me. I don't want to get people confused because priests do a lot of things. But he basically makes the grandpa have what looks like a heart attack. And
a bad acted heart attack.
And Josh, how did it even happen? Somehow the preacher catches on fire from this Molotov cocktail that he's the one carrying and burns to death. And the dad notices from inside that the preacher's on fire. So he runs outside, grabs a fire extinguisher, and puts him out. And as the smoke clears, you see that the preacher was in fact a goblin. And this is when they realize that Josh was right.
And now the townspeople are all there too, and the family, and they're all standing around this goblin, and then they kind of look at each other like, "Aw, shit. My son was right. This town's fucked up."
Is this like the Goblin King? Is that what I'm understanding? Because like the whole town like turns on them, which I guess it could be anybody. If any of them got killed, I'm sure the whole town would have turned on them.
Yeah, I don't think there was anyone significant. I think it was just a random goblin. Yeah. Almost a troll. It's not a troll.
Definitely not a troll. Even though there's this troll too. But we go, as they're backing away from the house, we move back to Credence's house. And her hand has been cut off by the grandpa because she went through the mirror. And she sticks her hand in what looks like a brick-style oven and pulls it out, and her hand's fine. And those stones that are in her house are the Stonehenge stones. And they can give you magical powers. So she becomes beautiful. And
before, who knows?
Right. Like, why didn't you choose this for yourself earlier in the movie? Is it the same actress, though?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought after she became pretty, maybe this is just shallow, but after she became pretty, she did better acting, it seemed like. I don't know. But then we after she becomes beautiful, we move back to the house, and it's now nighttime. And all of the car lights from the townspeople are, like, shining into the house, like Maximum Overdrive. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Where, like, all the machines come to life. Stephen King's Maximum. You know, there was two movies of that. There was Maximum Overdrive and one called Trucks, and it was the same story. Yeah, it was the same story. Maximum Overdrive was actually directed by Stephen King when he was doing a bunch of coke. And the other one was just by a random director. Maybe we should watch that sometime for this. Maximum Overdrive.
Was it a remake or a sequel?
No, it wasn't either. They were just two separate movies of the same story.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So Josh convinces the family at this point that Grapple is the only one that can save us. And Josh... Holly said, what are we going to do, a seance? And Josh is like, what a great idea. So they're going to have a seance for Grandpa.
And the dad's just on board. Like, and
the dad's on board. Everyone's like, okay, we've never had a seance before.
Seance, sure, let's go.
Right. And we move back to the last remaining boy in the RV because Elliot is with the family and the other two are dead or on their way to being dead. And he's watching TV, and the TV goes out. And the guy's like, oh, my God, the TV, what am I going to do with my life? And then it comes back on. And it shows Credence as the beautiful woman walking through the woods. And the guy's like, what is this? And she talks to him through the TV that she's real and to come out inside and see.
And, of course, being a horny teenager, he doesn't even question it. He just jumps up and goes outside.
Right. Meanwhile, she's also wielding a corn on the cob. So, let's go with that first.
Yeah.
And he goes outside, and she... Is this, like, the weirdest Ring movie I've ever seen? Normally, you come through...
I thought of the Ring, too. Just like the last movie we did together. It had this scene that's like the Ring.
But she didn't come through the TV. I wanted her to come through the TV. I wish they would have had the budget for that.
I don't think they thought that far out of the box on this movie.
But she, like, sticks the corn, like, in her, like, waistband. And I swear to God, at this point, I was like, oh my God, she's going to peg him with this corn.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, what is she going to do with this thing?
So that's not what happens, but it's almost just as bad. She, like, asks him if he's hungry, because that's what you do when you're about to screw someone. Are you hungry? But
yeah, not consent or getting each other's names or anything like right. that. It's just, are you hungry?
With a cob of corn literally right in front of his face. And he's like, I like popcorn, which
I don't know where you get popcorn from corn the cob. But she's like, okay, well, we can do that. But first, we got to heat things up.
And then it switches to showing them literally. If you've ever seen a porno with two people sucking one dick, this is literally what the scene was.
On this
with this corn on the cob. Yeah, corn on the cob. I actually stopped this scene and rewound it so Eric could watch, because it's like...
I mean, as far as like humor goes, like, this is probably one of the funniest scenes.
I mean, yeah. Because then they're like, he's eating the corn and so is she. And popcorn starts filling up the room. Just randomly, like out of places that it isn't the corn cob. So we go back to the seance for Grandpa, and it's not working. And Josh is the one leading the seance, by the way. Like, why would you have the youngest member of the whole party leading a fucking seance?
Yeah, I think really this kid's just delusional and the family's just going along with it. I think that's the real gist of what this movie is about.
Like, so he keeps saying, Grandpa Seth, please come. And I literally just couldn't handle myself. I was like, this is dirty. But then it starts to work. And this house is like super drafty. Like, the wind starts blowing, like, the candles start going out. Because this table literally has, like, 25 candles on it. I don't know where they found all these fucking candles, but they have them. And as they're filming the scene, like, candles keep getting relit. Like, I don't know if you noticed that.
They change the amount they're burned, too, like, constantly.
Yeah. So, finally, Grandpa shows up. And the mom's like, Dad? So, the grandpa... is there for, he tells them he can only be there for 10 minutes. Like, he's busy or something.
Yeah.
And
he's got other things to do.
But then Josh passes out and becomes a goblin. But Josh didn't really become a goblin because he was transported to Credence's house, which makes no fucking sense in this story whatsoever. Then the family is faced with all these goblins. The goblins are now in the house. Why the goblins couldn't get in the house before, I have no fucking idea. But they are now in the house. And this is when I realized that for Mardi Gras, New Orleans should probably have a crew of, like, goblins for parades that, like, throw out vegetables at people, because I think that'd be hilarious.
That would be awesome.
That's what the mask reminded me of, was the goblins' faces. Like, I was like, that would be great. I'm going to go back to New Orleans and create this.
I will so help you do that.
So the goblin, they run upstairs. The family runs upstairs. As you do when you're getting chased by anything, you run up the stairs. And a goblin comes out of nowhere and assaults Holly. And her boyfriend goes, get away, monster!
I don't think it was that serious. I think it was a little more monotone.
He goes, get away, monster. Oh, God.
And then the dad comes and saves the day and throws it over his shoulder. Throws the goblin over his shoulder down the staircase, but meanwhile, the staircase was on the opposite end of the house. Like, right. It wasn't even right there in the hallway.
We're getting to the end of this movie, thank fucking God.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Josh is at Credence's house, and the goblins are all, the goblins are also there, and they sound like...
Furbies?
Like a rabid... they sound like rabid dogs. They're like, I don't know, it was weird. I don't even know. It's so weird. It's so weird. Grandpa saves Josh at this point from another goblin at Credence's house with a bitch slap. Like, slaps the shit out of him.
A lot is happening in 10 minutes. Like, the grandpa right. said he's only got 10 minutes, and there's a lot right. happening here.
So he gives Josh a book bag, and he's like, use this when you need it. Doesn't give him any pretense on what the fuck is in it. Just use it when you need it. And at this point, I thought that's what the stone was. Like, it was an actual, like, stone that you could put in a bag.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. We'll find out what's in the bag in a moment. But all they have to do to get rid of the goblins is to touch the Stonehenge stone. But it doesn't work. So we move back to the family trapped at the house. And one of the characters, I think it's the boyfriend again, he goes, please, let's talk. We're all humans here. I want to read through the script because some of these lines are just, I feel like they were like, do whatever you think somebody would say here. That was another thing with this movie, actually, that I read. So they were Italian filmmakers, and all of the actors were American. There was only one person on the entire crew that could speak English, and that was the costume designer. So she was the one, like, relaying information between the cast and the crew, which is probably another reason why this movie...
seemed like he has a really short fuse, too. So they said that there was a really big, language barrier, and the director would just get more and more frustrated trying to explain the scenes, and the actors just had no idea what he wanted, which makes sense.
How would you explain any of these scenes, though?
It's so bad.
Right. So we go to the RV guy who is drowning in popcorn. That's literally what the scene is. It's him waking up, and he's like, no more. And then it's over. Credence sees herself in the rearview mirror of the RV, and she's ugly again. And she's somehow telepathically calls for the goblins at the house. And they show up, all the rest of them show up at Credence's house. So Grandpa's gone again because his 10 minutes were up. And Josh is captured by all of these goblins.
Yeah, this is when I see the family, and the family just standing there staring, just like waiting to die, basically.
Cadence is trying to force feed this kid fucking pudding again. Meanwhile, I've realized that this bitch needs some fucking lip scrub and some chapstick because her makeup in this entire movie constantly changes.
Yeah.
And this last scene literally looks like they burnt her lips. But
she kind of has a Bride of Frankenstein look going on almost.
Kind of. She looks like a meth head. But Josh, instinctively goes into the backpack and finds the solution to the problem.
Yes.
And that solution to the problem was
a double-decker bologna sandwich.
To be honest, bologna, I had so much bologna as a kid that bologna scares me now as well.
That's funny. I did too. I ate so many bologna sandwiches as a kid, and I will not eat them anymore.
So we find out that the only the power of Oscar Mayer can defeat these monsters.
Yeah, and as he's eating it, it's funny because is it Credence that says it? She's like, no, the fats, all the toxins.
The cholesterol. So,
vegetarians usually say.
Right. So the family all touch the stone and the goblins have died. All the goblins are dead in the most dramatic fashion possible. They're all bleeding green and Cadence is, it's weird. It's very anticlimactic, actually. But then these motherfuckers just drive back home. They're like, wow, what a vacation. The mom is fine. She has no feels. She's like on Prozac.
That's what it is. She's on Prozac and Valium.
Right. The dad goes to work and Holly goes with her boyfriend to his house. There's no repercussions of where the fuck his friends are. Because he has no idea where his friends are. They could still be at the RV.
And it was his RV, wasn't it? I mean, he was the one driving it, the boyfriend, Elliot.
Yeah. So, okay. But the mom is eating an apple, and she's like, Josh, you want something? He's like, no, I don't want to eat for 20 years. And goes to go take a nap, but he hears whispering. So he gets up and investigates, as one does. And what is an apple? It's a plant. So mom is now a plant and is being eaten alive by goblins downstairs, and Josh screams, and that's the end of the movie.
And then a minute 30 of credits roll.
I turned it off right there. I turned it off. I was like, had enough of that.
I don't even think it was a whole minute of credits.
There was probably five people working on the movie, plus the five cast members.
Yeah.
So as one, I will never watch this movie ever again, period. I might watch the documentary, but this was too much.
Yeah, I won't be. I watched it a lot as a kid. I don't know how. This is the first time I've seen it in 20 years. And yeah, I will never watch it again.
I mean, there was a lot to this movie that literally all of it was just garbage. But there is some funny.
There's supposedly a third one on that came out on Amazon Prime, I guess, last year. But I didn't look into it or check it out. I don't think I will.
Yeah, I was discussing with at the beginning. There was another movie that was made that had nothing to do with it, and
one didn't either, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they just threw the name on it.
That's funny.
So this movie has obviously a bunch of funny ass reviews. You have a couple that you put together, didn't you?
Yeah. Let me see. Remember, kids, double decker bologna sandwiches always the prime weapon against goblins. let's see. What's another one? Well, this one's mediocre, but while Troll 2 is undeniably awful, there's plenty to enjoy if you're a fan of epically terrible movies. I think that's a pretty good description.
Right. This one, the title of this one's hilarious. Dialogue written by lemurs and starring people who have less talent than bags of doorknobs. dreadful, but somewhat hilarious. Reaches new lows of cinematic ineptitude. This one says trolling the audience. This one gave it a 7.
Nevertheless, it's wretched.
This one's a 7 out of 10. Forget the critics. I loved it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's a 5% rating.
A 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it was a 0 until about 2014.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It really like was. I said, I'm surprised it's even on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, this seems like, as bad as it is, to be totally honest, like, this is the kind of movie people just forget about, you'd think, or would never be popular enough for people to even really know about, but somehow it's just rolled on by, and you can find it in a lot of places, and people still talk about it.
I guess that's the point you want to make when you make a movie. As long as people are talking about it, good or bad, you created something that somebody's talking about.
Yeah, and I guess this director made like 11 movies, but I bet they're all pretty close to this one.
They're like, oh God, I kind of want to watch the first Troll movie because I didn't watch it. So I guess we didn't need to watch it to watch this, but I just, this movie. But anyways, so next week we are moving from Neil Boggs to the Blue Skies. We are doing Exorcism at 60,000 feet. So you guys will definitely want to catch us next week as we go through the demons of that movie. Hopefully there's no goblins.
Hey, I have a feeling that movie is going to be a lot better than this one. More entertaining.
I mean, this one was entertaining for what it was. My recommendation is always to just watch it in two parts.
Definitely, definitely.
Or just get really, really blasted before you watch it. Because I did not. And this movie was horrendous. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, John. We will see you next week. And everybody, thanks for listening.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys later.